Amen. I only have a few minutes to preach, and I got to get really quick to it, and I don't want to. I always come filled with stuff, and so I want to get to it, and I don't want to miss anything. And Lord, have mercy. We're going to be reading. We got a word from the Lord today in Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. We begin at verse number 1. Your Bible should read, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. He said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, into a large and a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place, the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth the people of the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, Here it is, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And he said, And they say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Last verse I'll read for you. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I would like to preach from this sermonic thrust in our exchange, and I want you to follow me really good here. We're going to ask God to set us on fire. God, please set me on fire. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and see what the Lord will do with us today. Lord, we sure do thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you've done in our lives and saving us. Pray, God, that you would use us now for your glory and your honor. It's our turn to be set on fire. I do pray now for a present power on this past event. Pray that you would bring it to life and let it flow through us. I pray, God, for clarity of mind, concision of speech, conviction of heart. I pray, God, that you would help me to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Guide us now. We ask these things in the mighty, matchless, and marvelous name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. There is a gentleman named Mr. Toadling who decided one day that he was going to run a race for a charitable event for children's cancer. And his son decided that he wanted to join in with him and said, Hey, Dad, I think this would be a great idea. And so for 2 years, they practiced on what they were going to get ready to do in order to join this race and to run this race and run for this charitable event. But then the son is practicing and the dad is practicing. All of a sudden, the dad says, hey, why don't we decide that we could run this race, but why don't we run it while being set on fire? No oxygen tank. Let's just get set on fire, and then we'll run the race for this charitable event. Then we'll ask somebody to record it on live television. And he gets set on fire, and it's recorded on live television. And I think my introduction to it was when my grandmother, she calls me into her room one day, and she says, James, she calls me up, and she says, James, I need some water. So I bring her a glass of water, a jar of water, and I go in the room, and I see that this gentleman is on fire, running around, trying to run a race, completely engulfed in flames. And what happened was, I was just supposed to go in there for a moment to get my grandmother a jar of water. But what happened was, I was so enraptured by what I saw in front of me that I stopped, paused, gazed up on what was going on and what was happening, and said, this is amazing. Well, such is the discipline discovered in our text this morning. We have a bush that's on fire. And Moses goes to this place called Horeb, a mountain called Horeb. Other places in the scripture refer to it as the mountain of God. And he's doing his daily thing. He's taking care of sheep. And he goes and he's bringing his sheep to this mountain, I guess, to graze or to do whatever they're doing. And this bush is on fire. And it catches his attention. And he keeps doing what he's doing. But then something within him said, no, you need to turn around and look again at this bush, because it's burning, but it's not being burnt up. It's not being consumed. I'm looking at the scene here, and I'm imagining what's happening here, and I'm like, man, Moses, you can smell the scenery. I can smell the fire. I can smell also the fresh air and the mountainous, the serene area that's surrounding him. He's probably got a few sheep that baying and making noise, but this fire is really what's catching his attention. And Moses turns and looks at the bush. And the Bible says that God sees that Moses turns aside to look at the bush. And then God says, okay, I'm getting ready to do something that's miraculous. I'm getting ready to talk to you, Moses, through a burning bush. Now, most of you have grown up in Sunday school, so you're not impressed by what I just told you there. Most of you have heard the story about a bush burning and God talking to Moses through a burning bush. So you're just like, oh, yeah, it's just a burning bush. And Moses, we're getting ready to hear about Moses. Let me give you a little bit of background on Moses really quickly. Moses grew up in Egypt. He was what we would know as a cultural elitist. He was trained in the best schools. He was trained in the king's palace. He was trained in the agriculture of that day. He was trained in the architecture of that day. He knew what he knew. He was trained well. But for some reason, Moses ends up on the backside of a desert here, and this is where we find ourselves here, in the backside of a desert, the son of a king or son-in-law of a king, stepson of a king. And I'm saying to myself, well, Moses, how in the world did you get here? I can spend all day talking to you about Moses. My brother right here is named Moses, sitting on the front row. I thank you for coming, my brother. He showed up here. I like it. And I can imagine old Moses in the Bible had a big burly build like you, my brother, and a solid man. But I can spend all day talking about Moses, but Moses isn't the one that was on fire. This morning, I want to challenge you, because I feel like Christians, sometimes we read the scripture and we read too fast. We're reading it and we're just getting it done. It's just like, oh, yeah, I just read that. Yeah, the bush was on fire. God talked through it. Moses got, you know, God calls him out of the bush to go and save the children of Israel. Let's move on to the next step of what's happening here. But ho. I want you to take a pen and let's do a little bit of spiritual acupuncture and put it right there on the bush. And we're going to stop there and we're going to talk about this bush, because we're just not going to let this pass by and just get away and skip our mind here. You know, I titled the text, the message this morning, and I want to be on fire for God. God, please set me on fire. But there are several truths that are located right here in the scripture that tells us why we want to be set on fire, how to be set on fire, and what is the process of being set on fire. let me talk to you really quickly about being set on fire. In this text, God sets the bush on fire, and he begins to call out to Moses. The Bible did not say that Moses set the bush on fire. The Bible says the bush was burning when Moses got there. So what the Bible is teaching us here is that if a person is going to be set on fire, it's God that makes the initial appeal. God is the one who initiates the fire. You can't conjure up fire inside of yourself. It's God that sets the fire. God sets this fire and he makes this appeal, and then it's up to Moses to make the response. God sets this bush on fire, not Moses. And when he sets this bush on fire, he needs not to be introduced to Moses. He just calls him Moses out of the bush. He didn't say, tell me your name. He didn't say, hey, sheep, y'all know him better than I do, and I'm an inanimate object, and you're an animal, and we can communicate that way. Can y'all tell me who your shepherd is? No, God just calls him by name. God makes the appeal here. The initiation to being fiery is that you must first of all recognize that God is the one that makes the appeal. Secondly, you have to be the one that's going to respond. Throughout history, God has been making the appeal for men to be set on fire. And you know the ones that get set on fire? The ones that respond to God's appeal. The ones who respond like Moses, here am I. Now, y'all read too fast, because those three words, the way that they're ordered there in the scripture, I looked it up. I get a little crazy sometimes. I got to keep myself out of certain texts of the scripture, because instead of him saying, here I am, he says, here am I. So I said, God, what in the world does that mean? Because I can remember another gentleman where God was calling him three times in the scripture and he didn't know who God was. He responded the same way, here am I. I said, well, God, why didn't you just say, here I am? That's the English. That's how we speak. Here I am. Moses just said, here I am. Am I right? Come on, Paul. Come on. Am I right here? Here I am. But Moses responds to God, here am I. Well, when you look that term up, I don't know why I would have looked it up, but I looked it up because I felt a little itch in my spirit that something, it was something there, but I looked it up, and it literally means that he's saying to God, I don't know who you are, and I'm introducing myself to you. This is my introduction to you. Now, Moses had been talking to God. He had been trained by his own mother. God set it up so that his own mother would raise him in the ways of the Israelites in the Egyptian palace. And so he knew about God, but he didn't know God. Right. Amen. So when God calls him out of the bush, he says, here am I. This is my introduction to you, God. This is really my first encounter with you. God knew what it was all about, so he says, you know what? I need to get Moses' attention. So what am I going to do to get Moses' attention? You know what I think I'll do? I'll take and I'll set a bush on fire. I'll let it burn for a while. I can imagine if I was the bush, I'd be like, God, why are you setting me on fire today? Why couldn't you set my cousin on fire? Why couldn't you just, you know, set up one of these guys on the front row on fire? It's got to be me set on fire. I mean, come on, why are you setting me on fire? Of all the people in the world, why am I being set on fire? What's the purpose of this? Like, I'm just a lonely little bush. I'm sitting in the backside of the desert on a mountain. I don't even know why I grew up here. Well, while that's funny, again, we read the Bible too fast. God has foreknowledge. And God knew that Moses was going to be on this mountain. So God caused a little seedling to blow and to hit the ground and the rain to come and the bush to grow years before Moses ever got there. God knew Moses was coming up the mountain on that day. So God sets the bush on fire. Let me say this. You want to be set on fire. I heard plenty of you say amen. You want to be set on fire. But are you going to be okay with God putting you in an unlikely place? I want to be on fire for God. The Bible says that this man was in Midian. This bush was in Midian. Moses, that's the first verse said Moses was in Midian. The word, the term, the place Midian literally means strife. Place of strife. He then goes further and says Midian on the backside of the desert. The word desert means a barren place. A place where it's uninhabited by humanity. The word Horeb, the mountain, it also means wilderness. A place where life cannot exist. And God decides long before Moses gets there to place him, bush, praise God. Hey, I got an assignment for you. I'm going to put you in a place that's uninhabited. I'm going to put you in a place that's uncomfortable. I'm going to put you in a place that is filled with strife. You want to be set on fire for God, but don't be upset when God puts you in a place that's not all peaches and cream. What's the purpose of your fire if you're somewhere where it's all glory, glory all the time? The purpose of fire is for heat. The purpose of fire is for light. If you go somewhere where it's light at, you don't need a fire to light up anything. If you go somewhere where it's hot all the time, you don't need a fire I don't need a fire here. So you're asking God, and I'm asking God, set me on fire, but I got to realize that God will sometimes place us in places that we're just not going to like. That's a part of being set on fire for God. Are you willing to accept that? He sets him up in a place that's unlikely, Midian, and backside of the desert, and to this other place. He sets him up. But I want you to notice when he sets him up, when he sets this bush on fire. I'm talking about historically. God says, I got a nation that's in trouble. I got a nation who is being oppressed by their leadership. I got a nation who is actually being punished by me because of their sin. And God says, I think it's time for the nation to get right with me. I think it's time for me to correct the wrongs in the nation. I think it's time for me to correct injustice. So I'm going to set a bush on fire. God will set a bush on fire when it's necessary to save a nation. Now, I don't just ask God to set me on fire so I could just be on fire walking around amongst a bunch of other Christians that set on fire. That does no good. We are all Christians here. We set on fire. We need to go somewhere where people's lives are dry. And we need to touch some dry lives and set them on fire. God sends them at the right time, in the right place. Though it seems like the timing is off, though it seems like the place is off. God said, I want to save the nation of Israel because they've been crying out to me, and I've heard their cry. I've seen their affliction in Egypt. And I want to call these folks to be saved. I want to call these folks to come and serve me. I want to cause them to bring generations up for my name's sake. So I'll set a bush on fire. God says, I'll set this bush on fire. in this weird place in Midian, place of strife. He says also, I'm going to set it on fire just in time. Right as Moses is walking by, and I see that man's inhumanity toward man is real ugly right now. I see that there's great oppression happening in the land. And so God says, I think it's time to set a fire on a bush. Brother James, why are you talking about this bush? This bush is an inanimate object. It has no life. It has no other reason to exist but to just sit there and look pretty. Well, God says, I'm going to set this bush on fire because I got to teach the students at Howells Anderson College. I got to teach them this, that a bush is just real ordinary. Nothing special about a bush, just a bush. Fact is, Bush is out in front of Howells Anderson College right now, and nobody knows their name. Nobody, I mean, you don't even know how many bushes are out there. You don't even pay attention to it. You just walk past the bushes all the time. But they're there. And God says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my supernatural, extra large self, and I'm going to squeeze inside of a microcosmic creation, and I'm going to bring glory to myself by doing it. Y'all ain't get it. I would do an illustration. I might get some broke buttons if I put one of my big guys inside of my suit jacket. You'll see what I'm talking about. God said, I'm going to glorify myself. I'm going to glorify myself by squeezing myself. Y'all got to realize how big God is. He's immeasurable. But he condenses himself, and he says, I'm going to fit inside of this bush. He says, I'm going to use this for my glory. God says, what I want to teach the students at Howells Anderson College is that they don't have to be a Jack Howells or John Francis or Brother Eggers. Sorry, my brother. I'm sorry. I don't have to be these guys. I don't have to be a great preacher. All I have to do is be ordinary. And God, if he can take and set an ordinary bush on fire, what more can he do with an ordinary person? God will take and set any old ordinary individual on fire. Well, let me tell you what happens when you get set on fire for God. It's right there in the scripture. I'm going to stay right there in the text. You get set on fire for God, God will make you a surprise to yourself. Y'all sitting here, these are just bushes. They're sitting here. They're not doing anything. They're not saying anything. But for some reason, on this day, in the book of Exodus in chapter number 3, all of a sudden, this ordinary bush begins to formulate vocal cords. This bush somehow just had a vocabulary downloaded into itself. All of a sudden, this bush clears its throat, I'm sure. I wonder how the first Moses came out. It probably came out, Moses! Like dust coming out, leaves flying, everything. It drops off. Sticks, all this stuff happening. Moses, yeah. It comes out. The bush probably shocked itself. Oh, man, I didn't know I could talk. I've been sitting here quiet all this time. I didn't even notice. But the bush begins to speak. You get set on fire for God, God will use you to do things that you had no idea.
Amen. Right.
There were inside of you. Y'all don't believe me yet. I'm standing right here in front of you right now. I'm standing in front of you, and I grew up on the west side of Chicago, Cook County Jail, all that stuff. I've been through it all. And nobody could have told me Brother James is going to be preaching. You couldn't have paid me $1 million, $1 trillion. You couldn't have paid me to believe it if you told me. If Jesus told me, I wouldn't believe it. But when God sets you on fire, he'll make you a surprise to yourself. When God sets you on fire, he'll make you a surprise to somebody else. You ever looked at somebody and said, nah, there's no way. There's no way this person is going to make it, bro. Y'all know you get the bus kids. Y'all, man, no way. It's impossible that this person is going to make it. But if you live long enough, my brother can testify to you, I've seen person after person after person who I said is no way. But now God using them. Amen. They came and they got set on fire for God, and now God is making them a surprise to everybody in here. I got gentlemen on the back row back there. I would never say what any of them are here for. Everybody's here for something different. But they had some struggles in their life, and they're not all because they just bad people. A lot of it is people abused them in the past. A lot of it is they had some hardship, and they didn't know any other way to go but beside what the world was offering them, and they went after it hard. And let me tell you, they're sitting back there not because I asked them to come. They're sitting back there because these guys right here are the real deal. Like, they're set on fire for God. Like, if you had a conversation with them, you'll be like, hold on, they need to be up there preaching. I mean, I walk in the door this morning, we're sitting together talking about a book being filled with the Spirit and walking with God in prayer. We're standing in the hallway, all just standing there talking about the Word of God this morning. Guys who other people would say, nah, bruh, there's no way. Not Steve Shields, there's no way. I never thought he would have accomplished anything besides bodybuilding. No. There's no way. Now he's working and bringing people to Christ and bringing people to get their lives built back for God because God set a fire on the man.
Man, good.
We had a gentleman, he was supposed to come today, and he had a toothache. He couldn't make it, but 3 months ago he was laying, we got a picture of him laying in front of, I think, a Walmart, sleep on the ground. That's where he lived, sleep on the ground. Got a picture of him. Somebody saw him out there and said, hey, man, I think you need to, we know about this program down there in Hammond, Indiana. You need to get down there. And we need to take you down there. And I think God got something for you, man. He got here and had to share his mistakes when he got here. But, man, he had cleaned himself up, man, and gained 40 pounds. He was down in Florida last week telling people about how he got saved. And the people in the church didn't even recognize who he was. Because God sets him on fire. I got to be done, y'all. I'm done. I got 2 minutes. God, now I got to obey. I got to obey. God sets an individual on fire. Watch this. He makes the individual a surprise to himself. He makes the individual a surprise to others. But let me give you this last thought with this 2 minutes. God sets a bush on fire. And I don't think the bush quite understood the impact that it was going to make on the next generation. The Bible says that God spoke through the bush to Moses. And Moses took what he heard from the bush that was on fire, and he went and set the children of Israel free. God will set a bush on fire to bring somebody else to purpose and destiny. God also sets a bush on fire. I'm done. He sets a bush on fire for a purpose. Let me give you the purpose. This bush, I don't know how old the bush was, how long it was there. But the only purpose for this bush to be there and to be set on fire is so that it can have something to say on behalf of God. The bush had no other reason to speak except for it was speaking on God's behalf. We're at Howells Anderson College. I'm done. We're at Howells Anderson College. So you're saying, James, this sounds too far-fetched to me, man. You're talking about an inanimate object that's set on fire and God uses it. and this bush is being set on fire and is not being consumed, and I want to be set on fire and being not consumed. Well, let me give you one last example of an inanimate object that God set on fire. Right here, I hold in my hand. An inanimate object is just leather and some pages and some ink on the page. The actual color is fire brick red. On the page is there. Just an inanimate object, but God set it on fire.
Amen. Good.
People hate that book.
Right.
But God set it on fire.
Amen.
People don't agree with that book, but God set it on
fire. Amen. That's right.
Listen, people hate you for preaching that book, but God set it on fire.
Amen.
And no matter what they try to do with it, they've tried to destroy it over and over and over and over again. They beat the same old dead drum. It's not going to happen. No matter what you do, this book is going to always be set on fire. You can try to throw it in the trash. You can kick it. You can do whatever you like. Listen, God's book, an inanimate object, if God sets it on fire, it ain't going nowhere. So take that book that you have in your hands, that you came here to study, and you let the fire in that book attach itself to you and you catch fire. And then God will take and use you for his glory and for his honor. We're not here to play games, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. We're not here to play games. They don't just have a college here just to have a college here. They don't just do this to have fun. It's quote unquote, it's difficult dealing with Christian people. Hear me clearly. It's not for fun, but God wants to set this generation on fire because there's a nation that needs to be saved. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to respond to God's appeal? God is saying, I need you to be set on fire, Paul Henry. What's going to be your response? I want you to be set on fire. Because I know if I set you on fire, you can be used for me.
Amen.
And you will glorify me and you will surprise yourself in what I can do through you. And until I set you on fire, a whole bunch of people are going to suffer. Moses was wandering around, tending to sheep for years, decades. And a whole bunch of Israelites died without hearing the truth of God. God says, you know what? I'm sick of this. I need to set a bush on fire. Because I want to accomplish my will in Israel.
That's good.
And I want to set the gentlemen and the ladies in Powell's Anderson College on January 28th, 2022 on fire. Because there are some poor people out there that need you to be set on fire so you can be used by God. They have a purpose just like you do. We got to get stuck off of ourselves and let God use us. I know what the past saints did, and I praise God for it, but it's our turn to be set on fire. Today, I'm done. Today, let's go to prayer. Brother Francis, you got the rest of the service today. What's your response to God and being set on fire? Bless you, brother.